Have you ever climbed to a mountaintop? Or witnessed a sunrise on a tropical beach? Or sat around a late night campfire with family and friends? There are so many beautiful moments in our lives worth remembering. And sometimes I try and take some pictures to help me capture the moment, but I'm always disappointed with the results. Even the panoramic setting on the camera cannot reproduce the entirety of my experience. The pictures don't capture the sounds or the smells or the feelings that are present in the moments of beauty. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but even 1,000 pictures sometimes don't begin to capture a transcendent moment that is pure and beautiful. And this is the inherent problem in attempting to understand our passage today. Paul uses less than 150 words to convey something that thousands and thousands of pictures can't even begin to capture. Paul's prayer is profound, packed with depth and insight as he attempts to convey the potential of God's power and love within us. It is all too easy to read through the words quickly and assume we have grasped the essence of the prayer with our intellectual assent of theological statements. It's too easy to gloss over the substance of the passages like these, treating them as platitudes of faith, the words quickly losing their meaning. It is quite another approach to take some time and allow the words to spark our imaginations, to take us into deeper communion with God. And though all I have is words this morning, I want to attempt to take us a little deeper than words. So to help with this process, I've designed kind of a reflective, imaginative journey, just to give it a little bit to start deciphering what Paul is suggesting here. And maybe the images I use will resonate with you, or maybe some different images or experiences will come to your mind. If you want, you can choose to close your eyes, or you can leave them open. I have chosen a winter scene, thinking that it might have been really hot in here. We might have needed the relief. So let's begin. Imagine a winter landscape, late at night. You are many kilometers away from civilization. You drive your snowmobile out into the middle of a snow and ice-covered lake. When you cut the engine, the roar fades to complete silence in an instant. You take a deep breath and let the quiet settle into you for a moment. When you take off your helmet and walk a few meters to get to an enticing patch of deep snow that looks like a big fluffy pillow, all you can hear is the crunch of snow under your boots. You allow yourself to fall back into the snow, ready to make a snow angel. You are warm and well padded in your swimsuit. And the snow conforms to your body, holding you up at every point along your head, neck, shoulders, back, legs, and feet. You are aware that, though it is late, it is not too dark out. The light from the crescent moon reflects off the snow all around you. You take a deep breath, feeling the moisture crystallize in your nostrils. And then exhale, watching the cloud of your breath evaporate after a few moments. As you continue to just breathe and relax, your dry eyes are drawn up to the sky, to so many pinpricks of light that are visible on such a clear night. You immediately pick out the Big Dipper and follow its edge to the North Star, and then glance around for other familiar constellations. As your eyes adjust, more and more of the night sky becomes visible. Your thoughts start to wander a little, you remember that you learned that some of those dots of light are planets in our solar system, that some are stars nearby and far, far away, and that some are entire galaxies. You start to wonder just how far you're seeing out into the universe, how far you're looking back in time, knowing that the light you are seeing left some of those stars thousands or millions or billions of light years ago, so that you can witness them in this moment. The universe feels so much larger than you can imagine. And for a few moments, you are humbled because you feel so tiny in comparison to the vastness of space, and so finite considering your few years of existence compared to the 13 or 14 billion years that the universe has existed. And at the same time, you feel significant because you are here. You are experiencing this unique moment in time. And as you contemplate the immensity of creation and your place in it, the thoughts begin to fall away. And something deep within rises up. There is a place of quiet that is deeper than silence. A way of connecting with something or someone beyond what you can hear or touch or know through your thoughts. The feeling is not forced or concerned, but all-encompassing peacefulness. There is an experience of love that is more profound than feelings, an expanse within that feels vibrant with life itself. You feel like you could stay here forever. And so you take a few moments and breathe and rest. And breathe. As you return from this imaginative journey back into this room, you can choose to keep your eyes closed or open them. I've attempted to draw you into an experience of God's presence, because I believe that is the essence of what Paul is doing in our passage today. And I'd like to explore the pieces of his prayer from the perspective of a transcendent moment like that. The first part of Paul's prayer is for us to be strengthened in our inner being with power through the Spirit. What does Paul mean by our inner being? I understand it to be the place where we got to at the end of our reflective journey. That deepest part of ourselves that lies beyond our roles and responsibilities, beyond ambitions and desires, deeper than our carefully crafted facades that we present to the world around us, is that quiet place that lies beyond the constructs of our daily lives. Place of being. It is the secret place where God knit each of us together in our mother's wombs, where God delights in the essence of our creation. It is into this place that Paul prays for us to be strengthened by God's Spirit. And Paul qualifies this prayer with, according to the riches of God's glory. This is not a timid prayer for a mere taste of God's power. This is a prayer for God's unimaginable abundance of power to strengthen us at the very core of who God created us to be. It is a prayer for the deepest part of ourselves to come alive with power, the presence, the love, the life of God. This power bubbling up from deep within us, transforming us from the inside out. The second part of Paul's prayer is that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith as we are being rooted and grounded in love. We need the fullness of Christ to dwell within our hearts through faith because we know we are not yet fully grounded in his love. We need to know that the perfection of the love of Christ lives within us, because in everyday reality, we sometimes struggle to show kindness, let alone love. And I believe that is the beauty of Paul's prayer. Through faith, we hold on to this perfection that Christ provides as we become rooted and grounded in love. And that journey is not an easy one. Our life experiences have hurt us or jaded us in many subtle and not so subtle ways. Many of our thoughts and words and actions come from wounded places within ourselves that are grounded in fear or insecurity or shame or rage. We need that perfection to dwell alongside those other things, because God doesn't ask us to merely show one another love, but that is always a good place to start. God desires that we become love, just like God is love. That our love grows far beyond being an admirable character trait, and instead becomes the very essence of our being, so that our thoughts and words and actions all flow out from the deep place inside of us that is fully grounded and rooted in love alone. The third part of Paul's prayer comes in two main ideas: that we would know the power to comprehend the dimensions of God's love, and that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The first part of the prayer speaks to some of the measurable aspects of what we can know of God's love with our finite understanding. There is width and length and depth and height to God's love that we have learned as we have journeyed with God. And over time, our perception of God grows and unfolds in new and varied ways. And I think Paul takes this idea further, praying that we not only come to understand God's love from our individual perspective, but that we learn from one another in local contexts and in our extended community through the world. That we would be able to understand and even incorporate the experiences of others, building a greater collective experience of God's active love in the world. And then Paul pushes his prayer beyond the boundaries of what is measurable and prays that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we would comprehend what is immeasurable. Paul is convinced that there are other realms and dimensions of knowledge of Christ's love that are far beyond what we can quantify with our collective experiences or intellect. This prayer begs the question, how can we know God's love, which is beyond knowledge? How can finite humanity hope to comprehend the infinite? And yet, Paul prays for us to have the power to do just that. And I think this brings us back to centering us in our inmost being, of finding that place of connection with God, our spirit with God's spirit, where we begin to discover that part of ourselves that was created to exist in the immeasurable, eternal love of God. Finally, Paul reveals his intended hope for his prayer, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Don't gloss over that. that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. It's an already overwhelming idea to begin to comprehend our existence within the eternal love of God. It is quite another to begin to comprehend what being filled with the fullness of God might entail. Words cannot describe this, but we will attempt to go on. Adding up the pieces of Paul's prayer, attempting to grasp a deeper essence of it. We begin with experiencing God's love in the visceral ways. We hear it in the stories we tell each other. We see it in the generosity and acts of kindness in our daily routines. We feel it when we offer or receive a hug in joy or in sorrow or in support of one another. God's tangible, experiential love. We know God's love that we can comprehend with our minds. We read scriptures. We talk to one another. We conceptualize. We communicate theological truths with one another. And hopefully we are using this intellectual capacity for good, attempting to draw one another deeper into God's love, rather than trying to win arguments and prove points. These are the measurables. And on top of our collective experiences and intellectual capacities, we add experiencing the fullness of God in our inmost being. We add the immeasurable, the intangible, the infinite. We need to add the ways we know God's love deep within our spirit. Our knowing needs to include transcendent moments when we feel that infinite presence of God deep within ourselves, the place within our being where God created space to exist in the love of Christ and in the fullness of power. May we be filled with the fullness of God and come to know what that means far beyond our abilities to express it in words.